Welcome to Beta Finch, your AI-powered earnings breakdown. Today we're digging into Micron Technology's fiscal third quarter 2026 results. And folks, this is one of those quarters where the numbers almost don't sound real. Before we get into it, quick reminder, this podcast is AI-generated content for educational and entertainment purposes only. Nothing we discuss should be considered investment advice. Always do your own research and consult a qualified financial advisor before making any investment decisions.
Yeah, don't sound real is right. Let's just start with the top line, $41.5 billion in revenue. That's up 74% sequentially and 346% year over year.
Year over year, not sequentially. Year over year revenue more than quadrupled. And it's their fifth straight record quarter, with the single largest sequential dollar jump in company history, $17.6 billion.
DRAM did most of the heavy lifting, $31.3 billion, up 67% sequentially, three-quarters of total revenue. But NAND actually grew even faster percentage-wise, up 99% sequentially to $9.9 billion. Prices in NAND jumped mid-80s percent.
And the profitability is what really jumps out to me. Gross margin hit 84.9%, up 10 points in a single quarter. Operating margin over 81%. EPS came in at $25.11, more than doubling sequentially.
These aren't small beats over guidance either. Sanjay Mehrotra said revenue, gross margin, and EPS all exceeded the high end of guidance. And the data center number is the real story underneath all this. Data center revenue exceeded $25 billion in the quarter, annualizing above $100 billion. Data center SSDs alone more than doubled sequentially to over $5 billion.
So let's talk about the big strategic news, because this is arguably bigger than the quarterly numbers themselves, these strategic customer agreements, or SCAs. Micron now has 16 of them signed.
This is the part one think investors are going to spend the next few quarters trying to fully digest. These are take-or-pay, multi-year deals, 5 years for most, 3 years for automotive, running roughly calendar 2026 through 2030. They cover about 20% of Micron's DRAM volume and a third of NAND volume over that period.
And the pricing structure is interesting. The largest agreements have a ceiling tied to current, very elevated prices and a floor, but Sanjay was emphatic that even at that floor price, gross margins would be well above any peak margin Micron has ever hit in a past cycle.
That's the headline for me. Historically, Micron's margins have been this brutal boom-bust cycle. Peaks in the low 60s percent gross margin, then crashing during downturns. If the floor on these new contracts is above the old ceiling, that's a structurally different business.
14 of the 16 SCAs represent about $100 billion in cumulative minimum revenue over their terms. That's the RPO, remaining performance obligation, a new disclosure they're rolling out this quarter under ASC 606.
And this is where the Q&A got really interesting. Analysts pushed hard on what that $100 billion actually represents. Tim Arcuri from UBS did the math. $100 billion over roughly 5 years is about $20 billion a year, which is well below Micron's current $40 plus billion quarterly run rate.
Right, and Sanjay's response was basically, don't read too much into that number. It's a conservative floor. He said about 20% of DRAM and 30% of NAND volume is covered, translating to roughly 25% of revenue over the agreement term, and actual revenue is expected to run much higher than the RPO minimum.
Mark Murphy also fielded some good detective work from Morgan Stanley's Joe Moore on the cash deposits. Micron's getting about $22 billion in deposits and financial commitments tied to these deals, $18 billion of that in actual cash. Analysts wanted to know, is this a prepayment? Collateral?
And Murphy was clear, it's not a prepayment, it's unrestricted cash, but it reflects binding commitment on both sides. It'll sit on the balance sheet and get returned to customers later in the agreement terms, weighted toward the back half.
Which tells you these customers, and remember, we're talking four very large customers, three medium ones, plus a batch of smaller auto suppliers, are willing to lock up real capital just to guarantee supply. That's a pretty strong signal about how tight this memory market actually is.
Speaking of tight, Sanjay's supply commentary was striking. He said DRAM and NAND industry demand continues to significantly exceed supply, and now Micron expects that tightness to persist beyond calendar 2027, later than they'd previously signaled. Supply only gradually improves starting in 2028, and even then, they don't have clear visibility on when supply actually catches up with demand.
The reasons are structural too. Greenfield fab construction takes years. There's a skilled labor shortage, permitting is complex, and technology transitions themselves are yielding slower bit growth per node. Plus HBM's trade ratio. It eats disproportionate wafer capacity relative to the bits it produces, which squeezes supply of everything else.
On the HBM front specifically, Micron said it's already shipped over $1 billion in HBM4 revenue, and the ramp is tracking twice as fast as the prior HBM3E generation did.
Now, guidance. Fiscal fourth quarter revenue guide is $50 billion, plus or minus a billion, another record. Gross margin guided to about 86% and EPS guided to $31 a share. But Mark Murphy did flag that the rate of price increases is moderating, so don't expect gross margin expansion at the same pace going forward.
Capital returns are worth noting, too. Full-year CapEx around $27 billion, with fiscal 2027 CapEx expected to step up further. More than half of that increase going to construction as they pull forward clean room capacity. And starting December 2026, once they hit the second anniversary of their CHIPS Act agreement, they plan to start increasing capital returns to shareholders, aiming for 100% of excess cash returned over time.
So stepping back, what does this mean going forward? The bull case here is that Micron is trying to convert from a classic cyclical commodity business into something with contracted, multi-year visibility and margins that don't collapse in the next downturn. The SCAs are the vehicle for that. The open question analysts kept circling back to is just how much of future revenue actually falls under these protective floors versus how much is still exposed to spot pricing that could eventually soften.
And that's exactly the kind of nuance worth digging into yourself if you're following this name. The RPO disclosures in the upcoming 10K should give a much clearer picture of how these agreements layer in quarter by quarter.
Before we wrap, one more required note. Everything discussed is AI-generated analysis for educational purposes. Past performance doesn't guarantee future results. Please do your own due diligence.
Big quarter, bigger structural story underneath it. We'll be watching how those SCA disclosures evolve next quarter and whether that margin durability holds up as pricing growth moderates.
Thanks for tuning in to Beta Finch. We'll catch you next time.